Now, from Insight for Living Ministries, the brand new 2018 calendar is ready at insight.org. Inspired by a verse in 1 John, the theme of the 2018 calendar is, "My little children, love one another."
Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. 1 John 3:18.
12 months to keep track of your schedule, 12 real-life depictions of Christian love, and 12 reminders to love one another.
Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children." Luke 18:16.
Display the calendar in a prominent place where you're reminded every day to love one another.
John 15:13 says, "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you."
My little children, love one another. Get your copy today at insight.org. The 2018 calendar from Insight for Living Ministries. When we're actively engaged in the pressing responsibilities of life, it's not uncommon to fight bouts of loneliness. It seems strange. Even while surrounded by people, we can feel isolated and out of touch. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues our study in 2 Timothy, called Paul's Swan Song. In the final section of Paul's letter, we find the apostle demonstrating the obvious signs of loneliness. And his emotional appeal provides insight for us all in our daily pursuit of companionship. Chuck titled today's message, "A Circle of Honor and Dishonor."
As we journey through the scriptures, we often come to very emotional sections where it is wise to let our imagination go. And we, as one of my mentors used to say, we live out the text. Permit yourself to do that. We all have imaginations, some a little bit broader than others, but today would be a great day to let your mind run free, to imagine the writing of this section in 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 15 in its original context, a dark, damp, depressing dungeon where the man writing will soon put the final strokes on the last thing he ever wrote that has been recorded and preserved through time. Such words deserve our respect, our time, and our trust. May we stand together out of respect for God's word. As I read for you 2 Timothy 4, beginning at verse 9, "Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching." May God be honored in the reading of his word and the preaching of it, and then ultimately the living out of its truths.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called "A Circle of Honor and Dishonor."
Leadership and loneliness go hand in hand. That's a surprise to people who are not leaders, have not been called to fill leadership positions. Matter of fact, most would think that every leader, if anything, has life pretty well wired and really has very few need for other people. Nothing could be further from the truth. Loneliness stalks where the buck stops. A.W. Tozer put it well, most of the world's great souls have been lonely. Samuel Taylor Coleridge captures this reality in his immortal Rime of the Ancient Mariner when he pictures the scene at sea and writes, "Alone, alone, all alone, alone on a wide, wide sea, not a saint took pity on my soul in agony." There's a loneliness that accompanies the role of responsibility, where you make decisions that aren't popular, and where you rarely have a chance to convince the general public that your decision was based on what you believe to be right. If you are lonely, and certainly if you have recently been lonely, you know the agony of loneliness. It can hardly be exaggerated. How often Moses must have felt that when he was leading the people of Israel for 40 years between ages 80 and 120, mind you, across a wilderness that was barren and hot and dry, and they were often complaining, arguing, and even considering mutiny. How lonely he must have felt. And Joshua, who took up the mantle after Moses in leading through the conquest of Canaan, how many lonely nights he must have felt when the odds were against them, and he led on right through the loneliness. And David took the throne of his nation at age 30 and held it until age 70. And all the time he was the king, he knew those segments of time when loneliness haunted him and stalked his steps. When he lost his son, he felt alone. When Absalom rebelled against him and, in fact, overthrew the throne, and David was pushed out of the city he loved, named after him, how lonely he felt, looking back over the city of David, knowing that things seemed in chaos and out of control. All seemed lost. How lonely he was when he came back from the battle at Ziklag, and their homes had been burned and their wives had been taken and the warriors spoke against him and his leadership. All alone, David stood like a steer in a blizzard. And these great prophets that we read of, strong-hearted and outspoken for God, lived lives of quiet loneliness, misunderstood, misrepresented, and on occasion, martyred. And so none of us should be surprised to read what we read in verses 9 through 15 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's come to the last days of his life. The dungeon is dark and it's damp. It's dismal and discouraging. And your mind plays tricks on you when you're in a place like that, and you're getting up in years and your friends have gone and you're left with time. There's an urgent plea that appears in verse 9 of chapter 4 that, well, you can't miss the loneliness in the words. And remember, this is the man who just wrote, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all those also who love his appearing." And before that ink is dry, he's pleading with Timothy to come join him. Make every effort to come. And if that isn't urgent enough, he adds the word soon. Come soon. Between the lines are words that are saying, "I miss you, my friend. I miss the warmth of your companionship. Don't misunderstand. Paul is still the clear-thinking theologian. He is still the rugged and courageous missionary. He's still the powerful preacher, the brightest theological mind except for Christ in the entire first century. It's still Paul, but he's still 100% human. So don't let it startle you to read words like verse 21, make every effort to come before winter. I like it, frankly, that as I am preaching these words, we find ourselves right now in the midst of autumn, my favorite season of the year. But it can be a lonely season. It was autumn when Paul wrote and longed for Timothy to get there before winter fell. These words apply. I wrote them years ago. Timothy, drop everything. Pack quickly and catch the next ship out of the Ephesian harbor. Come, my friend. Find your way to my dungeon cell. I miss you. Come before winter. Come before the harsh winds of autumn strip the leaves off trees and send them swirling across the fields and through the busy streets above me. Come before the first snowfall and the icy blast that will cover flat carts and frozen ponds with its blanket. Come, my friend. Come quickly. Help me make it through these cold, dark nights. I miss you. It's good for us on occasion to pause and let the wonder in, to put ourselves in the place of these people with very human feelings. Alone, alone, all alone, alone in a dark, damp cell. And not a saint took pity on me in this living hell. Paul is left with his memories, and some of them are pleasant, and a few of them are painful. Which is why I call this a circle of the honorable and dishonorable. And he isn't hesitant to name a couple who have brought him pain. They're different types of men, but they are named for us. First, his memories took him back to days gone by when he enjoyed the companionship of a man named Demas. His name appears in verse 10, Demas. Demas once loved Christ. He once took up his cross and followed Christ. He once had the courage to serve alongside Paul. Paul refers to him in another place, in another letter, as my fellow worker. But no longer, Demas has experienced an inner erosion. He's cooled off to spiritual things. The dynamic for Christ has somewhere slipped. Perhaps afraid of the dangers and risks of following Christ when Nero's finger would one day point in his direction and he too would find his place in a cell. Perhaps he by now misses the comforts of home and desires the safety of anonymity. We don't know. It's possible that Demas never really counted the cost, and suddenly when the cost became great, Demas fled. There's an old love song years ago that Nat King Cole sang. And I remember it because it was popular when I was 8,000 miles from the one I loved, alone in a Marine barracks. And I remember hearing the words from this wonderful love song, When I Fall in Love. There's a line in it that says, and too many moonlight kisses have been cooled in the warmth of the sun. For Demas, too many compromises cooled his heart to the person of Christ. William Barclay writes, the years have a way of taking our ideals away. of making us satisfied with less and less, of lowering our standards. There is no threat so dangerous, so insidious, as the threat of years to one's ideals. Remember, age can do a number on any one of us. Not all the aged are wise. Don't think you're safe because you've passed middle years. Who knows how old Demas was when he decided to go in another direction? The late, great Richard Sumi has a marvelous line for this. He calls it the lure of a lesser loyalty. Paul has an eloquent way of writing this. The original text reads, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this now age." There's something alluring about this now age that if you're not careful, the moonlight kisses will be cooled in the warmth of that allurement. I can testify to you, and I say this with a sigh, that I've lived long enough to know men who once walked close with me and served alongside me. But something between then and now has changed them. And not that they don't walk with me, that's important. It's that they no longer even walk with Jesus. And I sometimes wonder when I fall asleep at night where they are and what they're doing and what they've used to fill the void of what was once a magnificent journey for Christ. Demas, having loved this now age, has deserted me. There's a sermon just in those words, isn't there? Second, Paul's memories take him to another that brought him pain, which is the reason I've called this a circle of honor and dishonor. Here's another man who brought dishonor. He names him in verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Alexander. Now, he's different from Demas. Demas slipped away as the silent toll of erosion took him from Paul's side. Alexander hasn't left. He stands in opposition. With Demas, there was a quietness about his departure, and he winds up in Thessalonica doing whatever Demas chose to do away from Paul. But Alexander, verse 15, vigorously opposed our teaching. If you will take your time to go back, hold your place here, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. You'll see the name mentioned again. It's debatable that these were the same Alexanders, but they may likely have been the same individual. Verses 19 and 20 of chapter 1 in the first letter. "Keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith, among these," among whom? These who suffered shipwreck, "are Hymenaeus," and here's our man, Alexander, "whom I have handed over to Satan so that they will be taught not to blaspheme." That makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Charles Ryrie's words are worth repeating. This was a remedial discipline which excluded such persons from the help and fellowship of the church, a kind of last resort punishment. Back to 2 Timothy. Let's spend a little time on Alexander, since Alexander still lives today. One verse says, "He did me much harm." Verse 14, not a common word used for the verb "does," translated here "did." If you search it deeply in the Greek text, you will find that it has reference to being an informant. If you've ever spent time behind the Iron Curtain, if you've ever been in a communistic hell country, If you've ever been in a place where you were a marked person and there were those around you who informed on you, you know the danger of an informant. Alexander was one of them. Apparently, he went to officials with many false accusations against Paul. You see how it's written? He did me much harm. The Greek says he informed many evils. He informed many evils. His hope was to ruin Paul's reputation in the eyes of the officials. For all we know, he was part of the reason Nero said, "That's enough. Lock him up." Paul doesn't say so, but perhaps the informant, Alexander, came ultimately to an official who got through to Nero, who locked him up. Which brings us to the second criticism in verse 15. He vigorously opposed our teaching. It wasn't so much here about his reputation as it was concerned with his communication. Paul stood for truth. Alexander stood against it. Paul stepped up. Alexander stood away, pointed his finger. Interesting thing about these two individuals, they represent the way those who fight the truth operate. Those who fight truth deal with it in two separate carnal realms. One, false information against the one who is teaching, the one who is preaching, the one who is leading. It's designed to hurt us. And the other is vigorous opposition to silence us, calling into question our word, our character, our teaching. And Paul doesn't stop simply with exposing Alexander. He warns Timothy. Did you get that in verse 15? Be on guard against him yourself. You see, Paul will soon die. Alexander isn't dying. Paul will be gone. Alexander isn't going anywhere. He's going to take on another teacher of the truth, because people like this don't stop with one. They make a career out of it. To borrow a line from Martin Luther's era, these are boars in God's vineyard. And every pastor, every spiritual leader, every woman of God can give you a short list, hopefully it's short, of boors in God's vineyard who made their lives miserable. People like Demas break your heart. People like Alexander drain your energy. Because your great tendency is to set the record straight. That takes time. That also gets you dislodged and displaces you from your calling. That's the insidious nature of people like Alexander. They move you away from center, and they get you engaged in things that are not anything to do with your major purpose in ministry. So Timothy, listen to me. Be on guard against this man. He's still on the loose. He's still informing. He's still slandering. Now, thankfully, that isn't the end of the list. Thankfully, there's a list that goes into these faithful friends, and they become a part of the pleasant circle. These are in the circle of honor. And we can sort of click them off one after another, because we really do not know a whole lot about most of them. Take the first one, who is mentioned in the end of verse 10. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Look at the next name. End of verse 10, Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Now there's a name we're familiar with. You remember Titus 1:5. Paul left Titus on the island of Crete that he might set in order the things that were missing and also appoint elders in all the villages, in all the cities of the island. Titus has been a companion of the apostle. They've been close as friends, and Paul misses him and his absence makes him long for him all the more.
It's fascinating to see this personal side of Paul and to feel the emotional bond with his friends. You're listening to Insight for Living and another message in Chuck Swindoll's verse-by-verse study in 2 Timothy called Paul's Swan Song. Today's presentation represents the 13th in this 14-part series that concludes 1 week from today. To purchase the complete collection on CD or the downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org. Well, at Insight for Living Ministries, we enjoy an annual tradition that goes back many years. I'm referring to the exclusive wall calendar prepared by our creative team with oversight from Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll. The 2018 edition has just been released, and it's available to you right now. The theme is My Little Children Love One Another. This inspiration comes from a verse in 1 John 3:18 that says, Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Each month features a colorful photograph that clearly illustrates how members of the church body reach out to their community with the love of Christ. It includes monthly scripture verses and, of course, plenty of room to keep track of your personal schedule as well. And it's yours when you give a contribution of any amount. So give a donation and request the 2018 wall calendar right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Let me assure you that your donations are applied directly to providing this program on your station, and your generosity allows us to deliver Chuck's teaching to others as well. Your personal investment is yielding fruit, and we know that's true because of the affirming letters, phone calls, and emails we receive from grateful listeners every day. So give a donation and request the 2018 calendar today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you to listen again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll's study in 2 Timothy continues here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Circle of Honor and Dishonor, was copyrighted in 2009 and 2015, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.